Blog Talk Radio.
Hey guys, welcome to Rightly Dividing the Word of Truth. I'm not quite sure what happened to our audio, but anyway, we'll jump right into it. This is Rightly Dividing the Word of Truth. I'm your host, Stan B. And what we're going to talk about today is a subject that all of us can identify with, a tiredness, a feeling distant from God. Our focus today is going to be on a particular pastor, and only because of his status in the religious community. We're going to talk about some that he shared and his feeling of tiredness and feeling distant from God. And I'm also going to talk some about my own personal, as we speak, experience as well, and see if anybody can identify with that. So we're going to dig right in. The pastor in question is the Reverend Howard John Wesley. Pastor Wesley is the Church of Alfred Street Baptist Church in Alexandria, Virginia. That's right outside of D.C. I did a little research on him, and he's been pastoring for 30 years. He's a relatively young man, so he's been pastoring just about his whole life. It's estimated that he's preached about 5,000 sermons. And believe it or not, that was kind of an overwhelming amount of sermons that was preached. And he's been pastoring this particular church, the Alfred Street Church, Baptist Church, for 11 years. This came to my attention as I was doing some research. Actually, one of the producers of our shows that looks for content brought this to my attention. And it was a YouTube story where Pastor Wesley was telling his congregation that he was tired. That he was feeling distant from the Lord. That he went on to say, I looked at the video, that he still had great joy in serving the Lord, but he needed an intermission. He was tired. And what I found was a little fascinating was he made a statement, and I thought about that, and then I thought about what I know about Scripture, and I saw just how right he was. He said in his feeling of being very, he said very was the word that he used, distant from God. One of the greatest mistakes that a pastor can make is to assume that because he works for God, that he's close to God. So in light of that, he said he felt distant and dry, and he needed to go on sabbatical. And so as I looked at for material that that would help me to identify with this and to see what others would say, I saw an online article by a guy named David Mollett, and he's the president of the Christian Theological Seminary in Indianapolis. And he says that this type of tiredness may cause alienation, which is commonplace among clergy. But what I'm saying is not only is it commonplace among clergy, it's also unconfessed internal struggle among many that will, if we're not careful, cause a stagnation in our fellowship with the Lord. So to emphasize that, and as a sense of testimony, as a sense of whomever may want to pray for me, as a sense of confessing my sins one to another, I'm going to share some of my personal struggles with you. And I'm not me condoning any types of drifting or distance from the Lord. I'm simply stating what's a reality in my life, and I could use all the prayer that I possibly can get. So I'm going to recap real quick, chronicle. I've been saved now about 22, 23 years. I'm 61 years old. And in my initial declaration of allegiance to the Lord, I had a slow uphill progress, what I call a marinating. I wasn't one of those kind that gave his life to the Lord and then all of a sudden I was a holy roller and I was running off to do every ministry and to be involved in every church ministry and to, save the world. I was struggling. And as I struggled, I had this gradual reversal of past interest. I would have my ups and downs with that, but it was a slow, progressive thing. I had to make a deliberate and conscientious, coupled by the power of the Holy Spirit, decisions to make to fortify my relationship with the Lord. So all in all, that probably took about the first, I want to say, 8-7 years of my life. I just, you know, there was various things that I didn't want to let go and various mindsets. So my progress was slow. And then at some point I had a spiritual awakening, and that's when I had questions about what I was learning in the Bible, the little bit that I would read or the little bit that I would go to church. I was concerned about my destiny. I started being concerned about my legacy. It became important to me. So as a result, I went to school. I went to seminary. I got an associate's degree there. That's not really where my learning came from. They showed me how to learn and pointed me the right direction. The majority of my learning had to come on my own. But nevertheless, I'm arriving. I practiced celibacy for years. Anybody that truly knows me would probably be bowled over to hear that. But for many, many years, it was a form of celibacy, which I thought was kind of a purification for me in my preparation and in fortifying my relationship with the Lord. I traveled. It caused me my first marriage. I traveled. I sought the Lord. I had questions. He sent me places that I thought was for one reason, and it was actually for something entirely different. I spent almost 2 years out in Arizona. From the time I left in 2008, when I came back in 2010, I was an entirely different person in terms of my understanding and my relationship with God. I did teaching. I did teaching in various parts of the country, Las Vegas, Phoenix, and other cities here in Atlanta. I got involved in social nonprofit programs that I started here in the Atlanta area. So my closeness with the Lord was a culmination of my faith, my actions, and all that putting together, equaling a worship, which is what maintained and fertilized my relationship with God. That closeness with the Lord out of my 20-plus year tenure of being a Christian, about 15 of it has been in that way, with about the first six or seven being the marinating, the growth process. And then I got married. I got divorced, and I got married again. And I had a four-year dating time with a woman. And then we had a brief 2.5-year marriage. And from that point, when I look back upon reflection, there was a slow descending, almost imperceptible distancing from the Lord. The faith that I put into, I think, the marriage rather than God, and in the woman and in myself, these things caused, because of their roughness, it was a rough period of this courtship, and this marriage was ultimately a rough period, a trying period. A perfect opportunity for someone to grow, but if that's not how you chose to look at it, then it was just something that would overwhelm you, which in fact is what it did for me. I'm saying all that to say because what that abrasion did was it caused, instead of an increase, it caused a decrease in my prayer life, where my prayers got to be hollow, they got to be kind of rote. You know, I would just pray the same things over and over, Lord, help me. So forth and so on. But there was a tiredness, there was a weight. As I was on my knees many times, I would just feel that there was a weight on my knees, and it would cause me to just jump up and feel, I think in the back of my mind that, you know, what's the use? Things are the way they are. There was a decrease in my faith, which is a direct reflection off of the prayer life. You can't have a robust prayer life and not be faithful. Because you're praying to something that you can't see, to someone that you can't see, that may not speak to you verbally, but truly exists. So there has to be an element of faith in order to have a true belief in a prayer being answered. There was a losing of my contentment. There's times when I would go on and off for a year or two, and I wouldn't work, and all my needs were met. During the time that I was married, my family's needs were met. I was very fortunate in that way. God blessed me, and he did bring, just like Jesus and many of the disciples and the prophets of old. He brought people into my life to make sure that I could continue to do the work that I was doing. This was satisfying. I knew that the Lord was with me. But that contentment, I lost it. I wasn't content anymore with the things that I had. I wanted more materialistically and so forth and so on, which contributed to my tiredness and my separation from the Lord. And then it was a lack of peace. I remember that, you know, to just piggyback off of what I just said, there was no contentment. I wasn't at peace. I wasn't at peace with myself. I wasn't at peace with others. I had become a Bible thumper, I don't want to say, but, you know, I became holier than thou, and I didn't have any peace because I was argumentative, and I thought that my way was the right way, and even if I was right and you didn't hear me, you know, I had a problem with you. It was just, all of this was the slow descent downward because of the circumstances, I believe, of a marriage, and I'm not blaming this on anyone else. I'm simply saying, I'm not saying that anyone's a culprit in chipping away at my relationship with God. What I'm saying is that Christian believers are called to rise above the circumstances of life, regardless to who, what, where or what's going on in life. But however, the truth of the matter is that the Lord knows that his people will grow weary and that we're not going to rise above. He said that the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And even Jesus exhibited a physical and a mental tiredness, and he needed rest. You notice I didn't say spiritual. Isaiah 40, as I looked and did a little work on this, Isaiah 40, the 28th through the 31st chapter. Look at it sometime, Isaiah 40, 28 through 31. But I'm just going to read briefly to you because this gives you an insight on what God already knows. Don't think that he doesn't. He says in verse 30 of Isaiah 40, even youths grow weary, tired and weary, you know, when we're at the strongest point of our life, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. You guys know the scripture. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not grow faint. Now, that doesn't mean that you won't be tired. That doesn't mean that you won't be exhausted. That doesn't mean you might be frustrated at some days and just totally fed up. That's not what that means, but it means that your strength will be renewed. Not that it won't be sapped, but it'll be renewed. And at the end, you will soar on eagle's wings, and you'll run and not grow weary, and you will walk and you will not be faint, because you won't give up. Matthew Henry, the commentator who I like to go to, because he puts things in, especially the abridged edition, he puts things in plain English. And he went on to say, he will help those who, in humble dependence on him, help themselves. And what I always like to tell people is that God is not a genie. He works with us, not for us. But it's his will ultimately that must be done. At times during the day-to-day occurrences in our lives, that doesn't quite make sense to us, though, because things aren't just adding up. You know, the kind of person that I've tried to be, and, you know, the circumstances of my life just don't add up. My mother died at a young age. It just don't add up. You know, I've gotten sick, and, you know, I've done everything I can to praise the Lord, and I love to do your work, but how can I do it? My strength is sapped. Everything doesn't add up. So things don't add up. But God works through us, with us, not for us. And it's his will that needs to be done. So ultimately, we need that prayer. We need that relationship so we can tap into God and try to understand, even if we don't understand, to be okay and to be content with whatever's going on in our life. I know that doesn't make sense to a lot of people that may hear this, but then these are only for the people of God, because the Spirit of God would allow you to understand that what I'm saying is in fact true. I find that the number one reason why people get unanchored, and I'm using myself, is that the Bible tells us to let us watch against unbelief, pride, and self-confidence. And, you know, in my own personal life, that's been, I can't tell you the predominance of what's going on in my own personal life. 1 Samuel 15:23 gives us a little glimpse of what God, how pride is how God calls it. He says, for rebellion is like the sin of divination, and arrogance like the evil of idolatry. Rebellion and arrogance are directly related, not first cousins, but brother and sister. to pride. Concerning Jesus, tiredness, physical tiredness, he grew tired, John 4:6 tells us. He became physically weak, Matthew 4:11 and 23:26. He prayed. He got spiritually weak. He prayed for 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness and fasted. Surely he was not only physically but spiritually weak. And this is when the devil tried to tempt him. These frailties are not uncommon to man, is the point that I'm trying to make, not even to God man. So from a big biblical perspective, Pastor John Wesley is on spot in his acknowledgement and confession of his weariness and the need for refreshing. He went on to pointedly give his congregation a real snapshot of how he was feeling. He, in confidence, expressed to them that he felt distant from God. He needed a sabbatical. The work of the Lord was weary. The prayer to the Lord was weary. The attention to the people of God is weary. And in our lives, the day-to-day grind of trying to do right when your flesh doesn't want to do right, when trying to do right, when people know you're trying to do right and they do wrong against you, when you're trying to do right and it seems like the circumstances of your life get collectively worse and worse rather than better and better, and that's the reason that you gave your life to God, to Jesus in the first place. So we've acknowledged that this fatigue is not isolated just the clergy. So how does it, the layperson, the congregant, the guy like you and me, how do we deal with this type of deflation? Because a lot of us experience it. We have to have an acknowledgement of the facts that we are tired, the facts that we are spiritually depleted, the facts that we do need a cleansing or a renewing. We need to turn our attentions to God rather than from Him. That's what we do, and that's what I've done. So I'm not preaching to the choir. I'm primarily speaking to myself. We need to turn our attention to God rather than from Him. We need to have a deliberate and careful reading of His Word, looking for satisfaction, looking for answers. Ask and you shall receive. We need specific prayer, crying out for relief and restorations of our heart and soul. We need to take a rest from our work, concentrating on the walk. Our relationship is key to our faith walk, not the work we do. We need to seek, ask, and knock, as the Word of God tells us to, at God's door for answers to questions, relief from weariness, understanding during these periods. Pastor Wesley went on to say in his address to his congregation that he was tired but not exhausted, not finished. He just needed replenishing. To be a vibrant, productive member, I'm telling you people, to be a vibrant, productive member, and I've experienced this, that's why I can speak from it, member of God's army, we have to be just like soldiers in anybody's army, whatever country or town you may live in. We need fuel, which is our prayer. We need fuel, which is the word of God. We need food, which is prayer. We need rest. We need sabbaticals, downtime, reflection to combat the enemy. Without those elements, we're fighting with no weapons, no weaponry. We have to put on the full armor of God, the full armor. For me, this message has two purposes, and that's why I decided to talk about it a little bit. As a reminder to the people of God, weariness will come. All of us are going to experience it. So if you've given your life to the Lord, and one of the reasons that you did it is because times were already hard for you, I just want you to know that God promised that He would supply all of our needs. He did not say that He would supply all of our wants. We may want a new car and we may not get it. We may want a new house and we may not get it. But what we will get is every need met if we rely on the Lord. And what we're ultimately going to get, and this is the part that where we need to take our minds out of take our minds off the ground, the earth, and point it to the sky, eternity, and where we need to remember what God has promised us, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, and that He's prepared a place for us. and that Revelation 21 tells us there'll be no more crying, no more suffering, no more pain. All things have passed away. All things are new. I don't even believe that we're going to remember sinfulness according to the word of God. I don't see how Revelation 22 can be true when it says that we'll see him one day face to face. I don't see how we can stand before a holy God and have any part in sinfulness that he's done away with and cast to hell. So I don't even know that we'll remember the sinfulness and the struggles that we've gone through. So these are the things that people of God, those who call themselves Christians, those who say that Jesus, the living Christ, is the author and the finisher and the completer and the reason for their faith and the reason for the Christmas season. If that's you, then that's what we have to look forward to. So sometime, you know, the Bible tells us this is not our home. We may have to suffer for a season. And I'm saying it's not knowing God has been good to me, but not knowing what the future holds. But I'm saying this, that in spite of that, you can place it on record that I'm telling you here today that we have to trust in the Lord, that we have to learn to praise him and to honor and worship him in spite of the midst of some circumstances that just may seem overwhelming. Many of you have had them and you've lived through it. And many of you still cried the allegiance to the Lord. He's still all your God Almighty. Jesus Christ is still your Lord and Savior. The power of the Holy Spirit is still working in your life. This is what God is looking for. People that recognize that this is not our home, that our home is in heaven. So yeah, Pastor Wesley has every right to be tired. Pastor Wesley has every right to admit that he's fallen away from God because he's done the work and he's ignored the relationship. As a form of therapy, it's wise for us to encourage ourselves that after this identification and acknowledgement, what is absolutely necessary in our lives, we have to stop for a minute and take stock and say to ourselves, where are we at? Take stock and see, are you caught up and have a love for your church more than you do your Christ? Do you have a love more for your pastor than you do your Christ? Do you have a love for your children, your husband, your wife, your home, your cars, your jobs, more than you do your Savior? Because one of the quickest ways for me at times to think about that is all of those things that I just mentioned. If you get a terminal report or just an urgently sickly report from the doctor, all of those things that you mentioned become irrelevant. You certainly don't pray to your house and ask it to save you. You might need to comfort your husband or wife, but you certainly know that ultimately they can't save you if God not be for you and offer you up the grace, or I should hope that you would know that. Your money, if money could save you, Steve Jobs would still be alive, and many. So those things all of a sudden become unimportant. So that type of reflection in many cases is the type of reflection that is necessary when you get in those periods of drifting, when you get in those periods of dryness, where you get in those periods of your prayer life gets not as robust or not as regular. Your love for God seems to be waning. You seem to be distant. When you get rebellious and you pray to God and then get up and do what you want to do in a given situation, when you know it's the right thing to do, but you've become wary of doing the right thing because the more and more you desire to do right, the more and more opposition comes against you. The Lord knows all of these things. And so for us, the best thing that we can possibly do is to keep our minds on who is the author and finisher of our faith, to look deeply and longingly into his word and come to understand that in spite of what may happen in this particular world, that God is still for us, he still loves us, and ultimately he has a place for us that no eyes have seen, that we can't even imagine. So let's I encourage us to let's concentrate on the Lord and give him all that he deserves. Being tired and having a sense of alienation from the Lord is not something that's uncommonplace to man. Many go through it. They may not admit it because they think that you're a minority, but we're probably a majority. It's just that you need to come forward and you need to first tell yourself. You need to acknowledge it yourself and you need to take it to the Lord. You need to confess it to others and you need to purpose in your heart, you know, that you're going to do something different. And it may take a period in your life. It may not happen overnight. But yet and still you know that you have a relationship with God because you've given God, you're giving God the best part of your heart. That's what's important, that we give him the best part of our hearts. So I'm saying all this and as a sense of encouragement to you and me. Just like Pastor John Wesley is tired and exhausted, just like he needs an intermission in his life, don't think that you don't need an intermission in your life. Don't think that it's okay for you to take a sabbatical. Don't think that it's not okay for you to step back for a moment and to evaluate. Don't think that it's time maybe you'll temporarily have to step back and, you know, you can't pour in anybody else's life sometime when you're bankrupt. I mean, even though you should rise above our individual problems and still be available to love on our brother and to help anyone that would be in need. But that's not what I'm saying. Sometimes things can just be so overwhelming that all you can do is just hang on. That all you can do is just be still. And so what I'm saying to you today on this show is that if that happens, don't feel bad. Don't feel that you're not a child of God because the Bible tells us that God chose you. You didn't choose him. The Bible says in Ephesians 2 that faith is a gift from God. So he's given us the faith to even call on his name, to even speak to someone that we can't see. Because he dwells in our hearts. So, once a Christian, because it's God's work, always a Christian, always a child of God. So if your behavior doesn't always line up with according to who you profess to be, if your mind can stay on Christ, if you can know that the nourishment is his word, if you can know that the Spirit of God will never leave you nor forsake you, if you can know that Jesus Christ intercedes before the Holy Father on our behalf and tells him constantly of the finished work that he did, which is propitiatory covering for our sins, because other than that, we could never make it. So we're all made. We're all set. So when that tiredness comes on you, that spiritual distancing, that weariness, just know that you may have moved, but God never did. Look at the example, if nothing else, of the prodigal son who did his father wrong, his father being a representation of God, and the son being a representation of you or me. And how we ran off to go do what we wanted to do in spite of doing what we knew was right. But then when things got dry, when the tables turned, when the money was gone, when there was no place to go, he remembered the one that would love him, which is the very one that he had left, the very one that he felt a very distancing from in his heart, the one that he didn't want to have anything to do with, was looking at him from a distance. And he saw his son coming from a distance. And he ran, which was something that was forbidden in those days because you weren't supposed to pull up your tunic. A man wasn't supposed to show his legs. The Bible said he disregarded that cultural discipline, and he ran toward his son. He took the fatted calf and put sandals on his feet because their feet were supposed to be covered unless they were a servant. All of this in spite of someone that left him and forsaked him. God never moves. Only we do. I pray that you hear this message and that if any one of you out there feel any kind of distancing from the Lord, that you'll remember this and that you'll use this as a sense of encouragement because trust and believe that God does love you. God bless you.